Welcome to the weekend, everyone. This is episode 26 of the Lazy Bums podcast. To get us started, I think we want to talk about some headlines that we've been grabbed by over the last few weeks.
The first one involves our favorite team, the Patriots. So 8 Patriot players have reportedly opted out from playing this next NFL season, which is a big number. And a couple of those guys are really key losses, like Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon, just to name a few.
Right. Most of these guys are opting out due to personal conflicts with what's going on and with the COVID crisis, and also partially the Black Lives Matter movement. It's tough to see these guys, you know, dropping out. And the fact that we probably aren't going to get to see them play this next season is a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not just Patriots players, obviously, that are opting out. You know, teams across the league have had players who have said that they're going to sit out the season, whether it be because of COVID concerns or because of a greater political and social message. Regardless, though, it is going to be a little bit of a different NFL season, obviously, because, you know, key guys might not even be playing.
Right. So to name a few of these guys, why don't you go ahead and name a few of these guys?
All right, so we went over Dante Hightower being out, and obviously that Dante Hightower the last couple of years has been really, really key for the Patriots' defense in my eyes. You know, the linebacker is really the quarterback on the defensive side, and over the past few years he's really stepped up and been a great leader for the defense and shown up in key moments.
Yeah, linebacker's always been kind of a tough position for the Patriots. Tough to really find someone who's going to sit in that role for a long period of time.
Yeah, last great linebacker I remember is Gerard Mayo, and that's like way back.
A long time ago. And it's been really great to see Hightower step up into that role and be able to fill those shoes that I think any really successful NFL team needs to fill. I support Hightower in any decision he makes, but and you know that goes for pretty much every NFL player out there, but yeah, he's definitely a big part of the team, and it's going to be a big loss considering the fact that the Patriots are pretty weak at linebacker.
Exactly. You know, it definitely hurts to lose both your quarterback on the offensive side and your linebacker on the defensive side, so that's definitely going to be a hurdle that the Patriots are going to have to get over this season. To add on to that, Marcus Cannon from the offensive line is not playing, and neither is Patrick Chung at safety, so another gap in the defense. And obviously Patrick Chung,
yeah, Chung has been huge.
Yeah, if you follow the Patriots at all, you know that Patrick Chung has been there for a good couple years, and you know he's really grown into that position.
Absolutely. I mean, in recent years he has really just shown us how much of a star he is. You know, he really wants to be taken seriously as one of the best safeties in the league, and you know he put up a great effort in what would become the best defense in the league last year.
Yeah, him and Stephon Gilmore back there, along with the McCourty twins, that secondary really held it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, key losses for the Patriots, and something that hopefully Belichick, I mean, I have no doubts that Belichick will sign some dude that we've never heard of from Bosnia or something that, and he'll do great things for the Patriots.
Hopefully. We can only hope, but another notable player who hasn't dropped out yet but is certainly thinking about it and certainly on the opposing side of the plan for the restart of the NFL, and that's Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, some big headlines broke earlier this week when Odell made some comments to the Washington Journal, or the Wall Street Journal, sorry, about, you know, the potential restart and kind of the relationship with the owners. There's a quote from it here where he says, in reference to the owners, he's saying, it's obviously for their money. It really bothers me that it's always been like this, and I hate saying it like that, but the owner's attitude is, oh, we own you guys. And just kind of that unfairness going on, and that they don't see us as human. So very, you know, harsh words coming from Odell.
Yeah, obviously, you know, the key piece in that statement is that they don't see us as humans part of that. And, you know, which is obviously a problem. If that's really the culture that's going on in the NFL, that's obviously a serious problem. And you know, if that's really the mindset that's been driving the powers that be to pass off this decision of starting the season and you know, doing what they're going to do, if that really is, you know, the mindset that they have, that, you know, these guys aren't you know, real people, and that they're athletes that, you know, can handle it if they get COVID or something like that. You know, I feel like there's a lot of that kind of attitude out there, that these guys are kind of like immune or something, and they, you know, as long as they're quarantined and as long as there's no fans, they'll be fine. But that's really not the case. And, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen in the next few months with COVID. And I think Odell has some strong points, and he's really just getting it across the table in the most dramatic way possible, in kind of the highest tier.
I think we kind of touched on this idea when we did episode 0.1. I remember we talked about how there was no stopping these leagues from restarting once they came out with the initial plans, because they know how much money they're going to make.
Right.
We literally discussed that idea, and again, we see it, you know, playing out on the big stage here, where Odell is basically, you know, kind of, I guess, using the Wall Street Journal to show how I think a lot of players feel about the NFL, I'm sure.
I'm sure that we'll, through the next couple of weeks, now that someone as notable and as in the media eye as Odell has come forward and said something like this, I feel like we're going to hear a lot of players kind of speak their minds about what they think about the start of the season.
Right. A lot of other NFL players have come to Odell Beckham's aid. For example, Stephen A. Smith on First Take was completely criticizing Odell's viewpoint, and a bunch of NFL players were like, you know, we stand with Odell, and totally love seeing that brotherhood and standing up for each other when someone is speaking out like this, because I think these kind of conversations are really important.
Yeah.
And in order for the NFL to be the best league that it can be, it has to have a good relationship between the owners and the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's something that we see more so with basketball.
Right.
I think that's why basketball has the success, and just the league as a whole is, you know, better.
Yeah. And certainly in these times and in this scenario, there's going to need to be some degree of a bar for safety and for, you know, just making these players feel comfortable in a time that is really not comfortable. And I think that, you know, the worst thing that can happen in a time like this is you're forced to make changes. You know, absolutely. You're forced to change your daily life. You're forced to spend time away from your family. And, you know, that's just something that's really critical at this point in just life for Americans and, you know, for everyone. Even these athletes, you know, they still are worried, and they still have lives outside of their jobs. Yeah,
they're still
jobs.
People, too. You know, obviously, they deserve the same abilities that and rights that we have, not being in a bubble.
Right.
But obviously the NFL and the NBA are going to have their say in all that, and they really want the players to play.
Yeah. Speaking of that, kind of pushing players to play.
Speaking of poorly managed leagues.
Right. What's been going on in the MLB bubble is, honestly, it's an atrocity. And baseball fans will tell you that it's not. I've seen thousands of baseball fans on Twitter, you know, saying that the players are safe, there's, you know, there's a guard for it. But I mean, if you look at what's going on in the bubble, like, there's really no denying that there's a problem.
Absolutely. Just recently, the Cardinals had 9 players and 7 staff members test positive for COVID-19.
Right.
So,
and you had what, the Brewers before that, or the Marlins?
The Marlins,
before
yeah, it
that?
Was the Marlins. And, you know, now you have significant amounts of players and staff testing positive on
right.
the Cardinals, and it's really kind of just going down the...
Yeah, the Cardinals are saying that that their initial exposure was on the road trip previous to the one that they were about to go on, and they may have brought it back to... One player may have brought it back to the clubhouse, and it just kind of spread from there in the clubhouse in the home stretch that they've had. But, you know, it's obvious that that's what's going to happen if a player is exposed to the virus and goes back to the clubhouse? That's exactly what's going to happen. You know,
Right. We
nine
saw
players are going to test positive and seven staff members are going to test positive. That's what's going to happen.
We saw the NBA season and the MLB season kick off at, or restart for the NBA, obviously, around the same time. And clearly the NBA bubble has had a much, much better, you know,
they've just been much more they've been
like,
much more consistent with their safety precautions,
right?
And, you know, they've taken it to heart. And I mean, the MLB, they canceled a four game series, and that was it for the time being. They canceled the four game series for the Cardinals, and they were expected to play the Cubs today,
and
they had to cancel just before the game. They had to cancel, and it was because another player had tested positive. Obviously, I think it's just essentially runoff from the initial outburst. But they obviously had to cancel more games. I mean, that just seems like that is the obvious
solution.
Statement. I can't believe we're even having to talk about that. Like, I feel like something as big as that, nine players and seven staff members, like,
and only canceling four games,
yeah, there should
does not seem long
I feel
enough.
Like there should be a complete overhaul, you know. There should be some type of looking into what happened and how to prevent it, and there just wasn't. They canceled four games and they were expected to play the Cubs today.
I definitely think the NBA made the right call in inviting all the teams to Orlando,
right?
And like doing it in one area,
yeah.
And like making that where NBA players go instead of how
the MLB is.
Yeah, the MLB decided to do it.
Right, that's certainly the safest way to go about it. I mean, the NBA has done it. Obviously, hockey has also done it in Canada. And so, you know, both of those leagues haven't had any problems really. I mean, the NBA releases test results, and there's been zero positive cases. I mean, you know, there's no overstating the amount of success that they've had. I mean, it has been very successful in terms of safety.
I know. I just, not enough can be said about the NBA as an organization. Just, they delivered when they needed to. I mean, none of us really knew what this was going to look like at the beginning, but they've managed to, you know, really make it streamline and make it make sense, really.
Yeah. All props go to the NBA and the NHL. And with that, we kind of want to move into our real basketball talk for the episode. We wanted to cover some of the highlights and maybe some of the lowlights of the first four or five games of the NBA bubble.
Honestly, it's all just been highlights. I'm so glad that the NBA is back, and it's...
Yeah, definitely the resumption of the season has been a big highlight. I mean, being able to watch basketball again, being able to see players like Devin Booker and... you know, Damian Lillard, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, all these guys balling out and really just getting back and pushing the pedal to the metal and playing their hearts out. It's been really amazing.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close here to the playoffs, or at least the start of the play-in games. And that's kind of what we want to talk about, is the Portland Trail Blazers right now are sitting in the ninth seed, but they're really making a push to get that eighth. To get the play-in, potentially.
Yeah, they certainly had a slow start to the bubble. But, you know, once they really got their footing and once Dame really settled into what he was trying to do, he went off. And all props to Dame. I mean, he's been playing out of his skin.
Yeah, the Blazers have won 3 out of 4 games that they've played in the bubble, and they're currently sitting one game behind the Memphis Grizzlies, who have not been having the same kind of success as the Blazers.
Yeah, the Blazers certainly a highlight, and the Grizzlies certainly a low light. I mean, losing four games in a row is always going to be a blow to the team, to the fans, to, I mean, everyone that, you know, is invested in the future of the Memphis
yeah,
Grizzlies. Losing
for sure.
losing those four games especially, I mean, in the bubble, what it means. I mean, there's plenty of teams that are vying for an option to get into that 8 seed from the West. And the Grizzlies really just haven't shown that they're motivated to stick it out and, you know, secure the 8 seed and face the Lakers in the playoffs.
The worst thing that could have happened for the Grizzlies is Damian Lillard getting hot.
Yeah.
And guess what happened in the bubble? So, I mean, I really just think it's a matter of time. Whether it happens through the play-in tournament, I think that Portland is going to beat Memphis.
In
If
play-in
they
games,
do have a play-in game,
well,
I
they have
just
to win two in a row, and that's going to be difficult, obviously. The play-in, if there are play-in games, there definitely will be for the West, but in these play-in games, it's going to be very difficult for the 9 seed to push and get into the playoffs.
The thing is, though, as it stands, Portland might be the 8 seed and Memphis might be the 9 seed. They're only one game behind of Memphis, and the way they've been playing, they could win the next 4 games.
Yeah, certainly they could, but it's going to be a tough, tough task to win those 4 games. I mean, they're coming up against very, very difficult opposition in the Mavericks. I know they're playing the Clippers. I know they're playing the Nets. I mean, it's going to be a very difficult task for them to win those games. But if they do, they definitely could secure the 8 seed and
And then it
maybe.
would be for sure that they would beat the Grizzlies. No way I see the Grizzlies winning 2 straight.
Yeah, but there's also another option. For that 9 seed, vying for that 9 seed, and that's my San Antonio
God,
Spurs.
please stop talking about it. I just really want them to miss the playoffs so I don't
Well,
see,
certainly
oh, the
it.
Spurs have made it for X and X amount of years. I don't care, bro. Like, they're not challenging anyone.
Certainly this season it's looked like that record is gonna be beaten, but I mean, they're not giving up. They're not
Yeah,
losing
no.
steam. They've come into the bubble hot. Obviously, losing 2 games in a row is kind of a bummer, but they're still 2 games back from the 8 seed, 1 game back from the 9 seed currently. And, they're playing hot. They're playing good basketball, probably better basketball than I've seen them play all season. I mean, it's been nice. I've enjoyed seeing the Spurs play
Listen,
well in the bubble.
I'm not saying I don't respect it, but like, after the success that the Spurs have had, you'd think like, one season of maybe not making the playoffs, like, okay, Greg Popovich, like, it's
Well, I mean,
okay, it's not the end of the
my
world.
hopes aren't too high, but it certainly looks like the Spurs are probably going to miss the playoffs for the first time in my lifetime. But I'm going to be supporting them through these last 3 games. That's all. I'm going to be supporting them, and I'm going to be hoping we get that 9 seed, maybe the 8 seed. Who
Maybe.
knows? It could happen.
It could happen, but
It probably won't.
it's not gonna happen. But moving on from the Spurs, the Phoenix Suns are also in competition for that 8 seed, and they have been on fire.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with the entire team, really. I mean,
Well, let's be
obvious.
honest. Are we really impressed with the entire Suns team, or?
I mean, when we're comparing it to their performance in the
Wait,
season,
wait.
in the
Answer
normal
me this.
season.
How many people on the Suns are on a Drake song? One.
Yeah, and the one that
And who is
matters.
that? Devin Booker. Devin Booker came in extremely clutch for the Suns, hitting that game winner and a 2-point win against the Clippers.
Yeah, very, very exciting game. And a huge moment for Devin Booker, and a moment that he is used to at this point. I mean, hitting game winners seems to be Devin Booker's strong suit.
Yeah, the man is clutch like no other. I mean, the shot was incredible. Honestly, kind of looked Kobe-esque.
Yeah, well, I mean, after the game, he said that he was channeling Kobe. Obviously, Kobe was a huge hero. To Devin Booker, as he was to pretty much everyone from that generation.
Pretty much everyone
Pretty
who
much everyone
ever,
in the world
yeah.
that experienced Kobe Bryant has been influenced by him greatly. But Devin Booker specifically shouted out. I mean, he wears Kobe's. He, always has something to do with Kobe on his uniform.
He
He plays
really,
like it. I
yeah,
mean, he plays like he was influenced by Kobe, and it's exciting to watch, certainly exciting to watch.
and kind of in the same way that we used to see Kobe do it, sometimes Devin Booker just goes unconscious and just knocks down everything that he throws up.
Yeah.
In that game against the Clippers, he finished 13 of 25 and, for 35 points, and just he was pouring it on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Against two, I mean, he was being guarded by Paul George sometimes. On the game winner, he hit it over Kawhi and Paul George. Like,
Yeah.
it was an incredible display of just offensive work by
Yeah,
Devin
that's a
Booker.
hell of a snapshot for Devin Booker hitting a game winner over two of the better players in the NBA right now. And I mean, a huge moment for him, huge moment for the Suns, but that moment is not all their success in the bubble. I mean, obviously they have had massive amounts of success. Winning four games straight in the bubble is nothing to sneeze at.
Absolutely. They've beat Washington first, who
are abysmal.
Yeah, they are so bad.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. I mean, Wizards, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, anyway, they followed that with a 2-point win against Dallas, and then they had the 2-point win against the Clippers that we talked about, and then recently they blew out the Pacers by 15.
A few close games and then a blowout, and a blowout against a very good team, very talented team, and a team that is obviously going to be in the playoffs and might challenge whoever they go up against.
Absolutely, and in that one, Booker had 20 and 10. Nice little double-double. You know, he's been balling out. Over the course of the bubble, we've seen Devin Booker average 28 points, and he's just
pouring it in.
Draymond Green was he was on Inside the NBA today, and he was talking about how they need to free Devin Booker. And what's the dude's name that is the lead on it?
On Inside the NBA?
Yeah. Whatever. Kevin Hart, I don't know. Whoever it was asked him, is that tampering? And Draymond said, maybe. So,
who knows? Maybe we see Book in a Warriors jersey.
If we see Book in the Warriors jersey next season.
That would be unbelievable. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, unless they... Well, no, I don't even want to
get into
that. You know,
I've been seeing Warriors fans... I've been seeing Warriors fans talk about getting Giannis in the summer as well.
I think every fan of every NBA team is talking about getting Giannis.
Wouldn't it just make sense if the Warriors got him, though?
No.
Just that one season where they're terrible, no. And then Curry comes back, nope. They get Giannis, they get Klay, Draymond.
No, the blueprint has always been that a team loses for years and rebuilds and does it big once they get the players they deserve. You don't rebuild for 1 year. That's just not how it works.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Steph wasn't really playing, and neither was Klay. So it was a very bad Warriors team.
Yeah, I really don't think that's an excuse for them to lose as hard as they did after making the finals.
Well, I'm sure they kind of just gave up. I mean, who wants to play with Draymond leading your team? You know what I mean?
Sure, I definitely get that. And the Warriors certainly were not very exciting to watch, but...
usually they play beautiful basketball,
yeah,
though.
And once Klay and Steph come back, they're going to be dynamite. And I mean, we could see them really. I just don't think they're going to be that championship level of competitiveness and, you know, drive. I don't think they're going to trade Andrew Wiggins for Devin Booker.
They might.
I don't think they are. I just don't think so.
Okay, what are the Suns going to do with him? I mean, he's literally rotting away there in Phoenix. They won't put any good pieces around him. And, you know, we're seeing him get older and older and still no success in the play. Have they even made the playoffs ever? No, they haven't in his career.
But what are they going to do without him? I mean, to counter that, like, they need... In that scenario where they would trade him away, they would need to trade him for multiple pieces. And I don't know if any team is willing to offer up multiple high-level pieces for Devin Booker. I just don't think that's where other teams are at this point.
Honestly, though, they could just tank.
Yeah, they could tank and get a huge draft. Yeah. And I mean, you know, they have Ayton. That's what you do. They drafted Ayton.
Yeah.
And he's been injured. But he's pretty good.
Okay, but I don't think that being stuck in mediocrity is going to help Devin Booker out at all.
No, it won't. And I think that we might see him make a push to leave, and we might see him go when he's a free agent, but I just don't think that the Suns are going to get anything out of trading him.
Well, in his post-game interview, he said that he wanted to be remembered as a winner, so just something to think about.
Yeah, that probably tells me that he will be leaving the Suns.
A team that's won a lot. Over the past couple
He's
years.
He's not going to the
over
Warriors.
There in California. Anyway,
God, you're insane.
Anyway, a team that's been struggling as of recently is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right, yeah. In the bubble, we saw them lose a few games and win a few games. I mean, they lost 3 out of 5, and which is... That would be an underwhelming performance for a team that was fighting for the 8 seed, but the Los Angeles Lakers are... number one. And obviously, you know, they could be slacking. They could just be resting their guys or playing a different style of basketball to what they're going to be playing in the playoffs. But if if playoff Lakers is anything like what we're seeing in the start of the bubble, they're in trouble.
To be fair to the Lakers, their most recent loss against Houston, LeBron James was not playing. But besides that, in the games he has been playing, they're still only 2-2. They have played some pretty good opponents, though. Obviously, they played the Clippers, they played the Raptors, the Jazz, and the Thunder. The Thunder, we're gonna have to get to them pretty soon because, man, they look good.
Yeah, they
They
certainly
look like a tough team, and
a very
definitely
talented team.
not a team that you want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the West is it's really competitive in terms of the first 4 or 5 games of the bubble. They've been really I think everyone from the West has really been showing what they're made of. Not so much from the East just 'cause it's so locked up. I mean, you don't really need to be fighting for a playoff spot, but everyone from the West is seems like even if they have a playoff spot secured, they're really fighting for their spot.
Absolutely. But being the first seed that the Lakers are, they are the favorites, and everyone's kind of poising LeBron for another finals MVP, maybe a championship, whatever. But in his games in the bubble, he's only averaging 19 points, and he's not shooting particularly well, shooting 42% from the field. I mean,
I think a lot of people have been really happy about that, though. I think a lot of people have been praising his more facilitator and, to everyone's surprise, defensive role on the team.
oh,
He's been playing
absolutely.
phenomenal defense and, not getting it done in terms of scoring, really, but he hasn't really had to. I mean, obviously they're losing, but they don't really need to be worried about losing. I think they just need to be worried about getting their stars into gear and resting them when they need rest, obviously resting them against Houston.
I just think that they got to use these couple games as kind of like a tune-up. And like, you don't necessarily, like, you want to play well. Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to get all those little kinks figured out before you go into real playoff basketball.
Well, you don't want to play poorly.
Yeah.
I think that's more so the main focus. Like, they don't necessarily need to be playing at 100%, but they don't. If they're getting blown out, if there's a particular weakness, I think that they're going to be able to see that better, especially if they're resting guys like LeBron.
Absolutely. A game that we're watching right now, actually, that just ended was between the Celtics and the Raptors. And we were going to talk about how impressed we were with the Raptors, but good God,
Yeah,
that game was awful.
after tonight, it might be tough to praise them, but what makes it easy to praise them is the fact that they've won so much before that. And, maybe they took their foot off the gas a little bit and let the Celtics go by. Celtics are definitely a team that's going to challenge in the Eastern Conference. But yeah, an abysmal performance from the Rockers tonight. I mean, from the Raptors. Rockers.
Yeah, but
An abysmal performance from the Raptors tonight.
but besides their most recent loss, they had won 3 straight, and they were looking really good in the bubble, currently sitting at the 2 seed in the East, and definitely something that at least I was surprised by. I don't know about you, but once they lost Kawhi, I was just kind of like,
Yeah, I mean, they're the defending champs, and you can't say anything bad about the defending
put
champs.
some respect on their
They won
name.
bragging rights. They are the defending champs. They're a very good team, even without Kawhi. They're a very good team, and they've been showing that. They've shown that through the first part of the season, and now into the bubble. I mean, the only team that's won more games than them is the Suns currently, and the Suns, aren't at anywhere near the position that the Raptors are at, and I
Absolutely.
think the Raptors are kind of looked at as the number one challenger for obviously the favorites to win it all, the Bucks.
Do you think so, though? I feel like a team that's really gonna trap that's really gonna challenge the Bucks is someone with another star. I think they need, I don't know if necessarily the Raptors have that one guy that they can, really depend on. Don't get me wrong, guys like, Siakam and Fred VanVleet are great, solid players, but they're not really like, they're borderline all-stars. They're not all-stars. They're not stars.
Yeah. I just think that, I'm a big fan of team basketball. Obviously, I'm
Yeah.
a Spurs fan, but and I like to see teams like that, teams that have a lot of really good pieces. I like to see them succeed. Do I think that the Raptors are going to win another championship? No, I don't. I really don't
They're
think they are. I don't think they're going to
not.
go to the finals. I think the Bucks are going to go to the finals. But what really excites me about the Raptors is that in a matchup against Giannis, they have, you know, four or five guys that they can work around to be able to keep fresh legs on him and be able to maybe slow him down. They're not going to shut him down, but maybe slow him down. I mean, they can really work well to bump down Ibaka and Siakam to cover him, double team him in the post, and limit that part of his game. And I think, you know, I think they really do have a good matchup against Giannis, and they really only have to have a good matchup against Giannis when they're facing the Bucks. You know, there's not anyone else that's really going to challenge Kyle Lowry. You know, people like Kyle Lowry, people like Van Vliet, you know, there's not going to be those defensive presences to get those guys out of rhythm.
And as we've seen recently in the playoffs, you know, a lot of people have been doubting Giannis's ability to perform. And so, you know, the Raptors obviously are a team that's great with team defense and very well coached. So that's going to be something that we're going to look forward to if that eventually becomes the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I will say one thing about the Bucks, though, Celtics and foe.
Good one, man. Good one. That was a good one. Never gonna happen. But that's
Celtics info.
The Celtics could be facing the Bucks, maybe, but I don't know if they'll make it past the first round.
Celtics info. We might lose in the championship, but we're getting there.
Alright, well, good luck with that. I think that's a more far-fetched dream than the Spurs maybe making the playoffs from the 9 seed.
Dude, I don't know, man. The Celtics are at the 3 seed, and when they're on, like, they look really good.
Yeah,
they look
really good. They do not stay on for 4 games straight. I'm sorry, they just don't. They're streaky. Streaky young guys.
You doubt Brad Stevens?
No, I doubt Marcus Smart.
No, dude, okay. Anyway, that's... Okay.
With that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up, guys. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Please support us on Patreon. Please follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast on. Follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. Thank you so much for watching.